Emmanuel's land. Now we're turning to God's word. You'll find it in the 138th Psalm. The Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word here is Christ himself. That's one of his names. In the beginning was the word, John says in his gospel. And so God has magnified his word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thank God there's reviving. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And God will bless his word to our hearts.
Thank you.
Lord, answer that prayer, we pray thee, and revive thy church in every part, and grant that it might be as a light set on a hill that cannot be hid. Bless us now as we would seek to meditate on thy word. Illuminate our minds, and grant that we may be able to grasp the great truths of thy word, and hide thy word in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was preaching in the Martyrs a few weeks ago, and at the end of the evening service, they handed me back my two sermons. I don't know whether that was a compliment or whether they wanted me to hear a good preacher. So I don't know whether you'll hand me back my sermons today or not. I want to speak for a short time, that is an hour or so, on the subject of prayer. I think this is something that is sadly neglected in our lives. I wonder how many here this morning have spent an hour, or maybe half an hour, or even 15 minutes before the Lord, before you came here. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But you know, this is something that is neglected by many of us. Prayer. And we have in this 138th Psalm a prayer. A prayer of David. You know, David was a man of prayer. We sometimes sing that old chorus, Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed three times daily. We can pray all day. We can pray at our work. We can pray as we relax. We can always lift up our hearts to God in prayer. But I feel that it's very profitable to set aside a particular time each day where we can seek the Lord in prayer. I mostly do it in the morning, and spend an hour or so before the Lord. And I'm sure many of you do. But this is an exercise I feel that is very much neglected. And indeed it shows in our services, because the prayer meeting is generally the smallest meeting in our church. Although I'm glad to say that the prayer meeting here, I understand, is a very large prayer meeting. You get over 100 out at the prayer meeting and Bible study. And I think that's very commendable indeed. However, I want you to look at this prayer of David. And he says here in the third verse, in the day when I cried, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthen me with strength in my soul. That's one of the great purposes of prayer. That we might be strengthened by his spirit with might in the inner man. And this prayer is a song of thanksgiving. And in our prayers we should be very thankful to God. We should praise him. We should worship him. Here's a prayer of thanksgiving for a great deliverance. And you know, you and I who are saved have a right to constantly come before God and thank him for his deliverance. I never fail to thank God for saving me, and for the goodness and mercy that has followed me all the days of my life. We must come to God with thanksgiving and praise him. I have been saved 52 years now. That's a long time. I was very young when I was saved, of course. And I always like to thank God for his salvation. Now here's David, and he comes and he thanks God for great deliverance. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength. He's looking back to a time of deep sorrow and affliction and conflict, when the enemy had come in like a flood, when he realized that he hadn't, as we would say today, a pup's chance of survival. And he got down and he cried to God, and he thanks him for crushing a rebellion, and for crushing the enemy,
and for delivering him out of the power of the enemy. My, how we should constantly praise God for his deliverance. In the day that I cried, here was desperation. He wasn't just coming to multiply words before the Lord. You know, there's people and they feel that prayer is just a recitation of a certain form. We have in some of our churches, not our churches, but other churches, prayer books. And they read a prayer. If a man is sick, they read a prayer. If he's happy and rejoicing, they have another prayer for that. They have a prayer for nearly everything. Although I heard of a curate who went to visit some people, and this man had been gored by a bull. And he talked sympathetically with the man and his wife, and the man was writhing in pain, and so he was about to leave when the woman said, "Oh, you're not going to say a prayer for my husband." So he turned over his prayer book and he looked at the woman. He says, "I'm awfully sorry." He says, "I see a prayer here for this and that and the other thing," but he said, "I can't find a prayer for a man that was gored by a bull." Friend, when we come to pray, we don't come to read some form of prayer. We come to pour out our hearts to God, to tell God all about, and God knows all about our need. He says, "Before you call, I will answer." He knows all about it, but he wants us to tell him, to let him know how we feel, and what we want, and what our desires are. And here was David. In the day of trouble, he said, "I cried unto thee." He cried. You know, prayer has different forms. And you discover this in the Bible. It's very, very interesting. You find that prayer, first of all, is described in some cases as looking. Looking unto God. In the 34th Psalm in verse 5, it says, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." So here was a people in David's day, the Israelites, and they looked up to God. In the 121st Psalm, that wonderful Psalm of comfort, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh mine aid." We don't look around us. We don't look for earthly help. Oh, earthly comfort is very good. But friend, in deep distress, we always lift our eyes to the hills, from whence cometh our aid. And God has promised to send us aid when we cry unto him and when we make known to him our need. And in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, that wonderful chapter, it says this in the second verse, in the 42nd verse, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." Maybe there's a sinner here. Maybe there's someone here and you don't know a thing about prayer. And you have been singing maybe these old songs of Zion all your life, and yet you don't know God as your Savior. Now here's a call for you, sinner, as well as for the saved. Look unto me. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your heart to God even now while you sit in the pew. And he'll save you. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else." There's none else can save you, you know. Sinner, will you look to him? That's what Spurgeon did. As he heard an old preacher trying to preach, a bit like old Wiley. "Look," says the preacher, "young man." And Spurgeon sat in the back, and Spurgeon looked. And Spurgeon lived. And Spurgeon became a mighty, yea, the prince of preachers. Young man, God could save you this morning and send you out as a great messenger, an ambassador for Christ. So prayer is looking. And then prayer is waiting. In the 40th Psalm, I'm a great lover of the Psalms, as you possibly know. But in the 40th Psalm, you find the psalmist here in the mire, sunk down in the bottom of a dreadful pit, as it were. pit of despondency and sorrow and grief and frustration. And he says, I waited patiently on the Lord. When you're in sorrow and grief, and many of us have had that experience of going through times of sorrow and grief, wait on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard me. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also. So prayer is not only looking, but waiting. And then prayer is also calling. There's a verse in the 27th Psalm just before I go on to calling, going back to waiting. In 1975, I remember very well, I'll never forget it, I was down here on holiday. I lived in Lurgan at that time, and I had a heart attack. And I lay for a month in Coleraine Hospital, and then I went home, and my doctor said to me, Wiley, I want you to do a bit of walking to stimulate your heart. And you know, I wasn't fit to walk. And I used to do about 100 yards or so and then come back feeling very despondent. And one day as I walked up along the Banbridge Road there, I said to the Lord, Lord, is it always going to be like this? Am I going to be an old crock? I would be far better at home with the Lord. And God answered me that day. In the 27th Psalm, in the last verse, the 14th verse, and behold, he said, just as clear as you're hearing my voice, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Well, that was just the very word I needed. And God did that. And I was back preaching, or at least attempting to preach, in 3 months. I was with my doctor the other day, and they can't find a thing wrong with my heart. It's profitable to wait on God, my dear brothers and sisters. That is prayer. And then, as I say, calling is another attitude of prayer. Call upon me, says Isaiah. Call ye upon me. Who, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that have no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then he goes on, he says, call upon me. And what a great thing it is to be able to call on God. Sometimes we call on friends to help us. And it's good to have friends. I'm very thankful for many friends that I have. And for the encouragement that I receive from them. But my, how great it is to call on God. And he says his ear is ever open to our cry. His ear is ever open to the cry of the righteous. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. And sinner, again, there's a word for you in Romans 10. And it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call? Will you look? Will you wait upon him now, sinner? I feel burdened for you, that you may know his saving grace. And then prayer is also seeking. How the psalmist sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, he says in another psalm, and he heard me and delivered me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, the 27th Psalm again. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Sinner and saint alike, I would ask you to seek the Lord afresh this morning. My dear brother in Christ, seek the Lord in every circumstance in life, and he'll draw near and bless you and deliver you. Now in our text, in the day that I cried, so prayer is described as crying. He was crying out of desperation. He realized the awful imminent peril that he was in. He realized the power of the enemy. He realized the evil intent of the devil. And he cried unto God. My, that speaks of earnestness.
There's nothing unreal there. Here's a man coming, and he loses sight of everything, and he lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he waits on God, and then he cries from the depth of his soul, "Oh God, deliver me!" And God did it. For he says, "In the day that I cried unto thee, thou deliverest me." What a wonderful verse that is. "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me." Strengthened my soul. Are you weak today, Christian? Do you feel you're not fit to meet all the emergencies and problems of life? Well, friends, there's strength for the toil of the day. And if, like David, you come in sincerity and cry, so prayer is crying unto God. And then we find here suggested that there's a sense of our own inability here. The psalmist was brought to realize that he could do nothing to deliver himself. He could do nothing to get himself out of this particular trouble. He could do nothing to destroy the power of the enemy. He realized his utter inability and his utter dependence upon God. That's how we must come. That's the attitude we must come. And then earnestness. We must pray earnestly. What earnestness did David pray? With what earnestness did he lay hold upon God? "In the day that I cried," you can almost see the earnestness there in his face as he cries to God. Let us come to God with earnestness. My, how earnestly did Christ pray? Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed the more earnestly. And you know, I was impressed by the prayer of this mighty saint of God, Jacob. How earnestly he prayed. "Oh God," he said, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." My, what earnestness. You can see this man, Jacob, and he's trembling with fear of his brother Esau. And he lays hold on God. And God says, "Let me go." He says, "I'll not let you go till you bless me." Oh, that we would come to God with such earnestness, brothers and sisters, and lay hold upon him, and wait and cry and seek and call with earnestness and zeal. And he'll do something for you. He'll bless you with a blessing you've never had before. And then the successful outcome of such earnest prayer: "Thou answerest me." The Lord just did for him what he wanted and what he asked. "Thou answerest me. Thou strengthenest me in my soul." Isn't that wonderful? So there's the answer. Let's look to him. And sinner, let me appeal again to you this morning. I want you to look to him. I want you to call upon him even as you sit in your seat. I want you to lift up your eyes to him. Yea, I want you to look and live. For there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner. Look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed to the tree. Now that's just an introduction to what I'm going to talk about prayer. And I want to take this morning the example of a man who prayed. A man you'll find in 1 Chronicles 4 and 10. A man who prayed to God. And this is the only thing we know about this man, Jabez. He was more honorable than all his brethren. We don't know in what sense he was more honorable. Whether he was honored by the nation, whether he was a great captain in the army, or whether he was a great politician, but it just says he was more honorable. But I feel that we get the true character of this man by his prayer.
And the Spirit of God has recorded this man's prayer for us. And it's a very interesting prayer. Listen to it. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. What four great petitions. Listen to them. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. My, what a prayer! Four simple petitions. And it says this, and the Lord granted him that which he requested. Here's a prayer that God will answer. Here's a prayer that God has answered. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Did you ever pray that? That thou wouldst bless me indeed. You know, I find it very interesting to listen to people pray in prayer meetings. And I like to join with them. But you'll always find people, and they're praying for everything under the shining sun. And that's a good thing. And they'll pray for the minister, and that's a very good thing. And they'll pray for their neighbors and their friends, and they'll pray for the country. But you never hear them praying for themselves. And the first petition of this man's prayer was, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And friends, we cannot be channels of blessing until we know the blessing of God in our own hearts. And here was a man called Jabez. His name means sorrowful. For his mother, as you read in that portion in 1 Corinthians 4, conceived him and bore him with sorrow. She had terrible trouble at his birth, more than normal. And it brought sorrow to her heart, and she just called her son Sorrowful. That wasn't a very pleasant name to call a boy, was it? Jabez, Sorrowful. And so that's how he was born. And friends, we're all born in sorrow. But he was a man. And he became more honorable than all his brethren because he prayed. And in his sorrow and in his grief, he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. And you know, when a man gets down before God with earnestness and says, Lord, bless me indeed, then that man becomes a blessing. Yes, we can pray for blessing on everything and everybody. But friends, make sure that the blessing of God is in your heart. That God has blessed you indeed. How earnestly we were mentioning, did Jacob pray? Oh, God, bless me! I'll not let you go till you bless me! So here, Jacob had the right end of the stick, as we say. He wanted to be blessed. He didn't say, Lord, bless the family, and bless my army, and bless my cattle, and bless Esau. He says, Lord, bless me. For he knew that danger lay ahead, and he knew that to go on his own strength would be utter failure. And so he says, Lord, bless me indeed. And God does bless us individually. And unless we have God's blessing in our own soul, we'll never be a blessing to anybody else. Has God blessed you? Has he really blessed you? Can you say amen, brother? God has blessed me. You know, in Proverbs, I like this verse. In Proverbs chapter 10, Solomon wrote these Proverbs under the inspiration of God. And Solomon was blessed with more wisdom than any other man. And he wrote these wonderful Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Songs of Solomon. And he says in Proverbs chapter 10, the blessing of God, listen to this, the blessing of God maketh rich. Do you want to be rich? Well, here's richness. Here's the riches of heaven, the blessing of God. It maketh rich. It enriches the life. It enriches the soul. It enriches us in every aspect of our life. The blessing of God that maketh rich, and it goes on, and addeth no sorrow with it. Sometimes you meet people who say, the Lord bless you, Wiley. Well, that's very nice. I like to get the blessing of people, but mind the blessing of God. The blessing of God is like the dew of heaven resting on the soul. The blessing of God enriches the life, enriches the mind, enriches the heart, enriches us physically as well. The blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. He shall be like a tree. The man who's got the blessing of God. The first Psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the man who is blessed of God. The blessing of God. And this is what Jabez prayed for. Before he prayed for anything else, he says, O God, bless me indeed. You know, I believe it would be profitable this morning if we all got on our knees and cried, O God, bless me indeed, and send me out to live for you. Bless me with that blessing that maketh rich, and I'll be able to enrich others. Do you want God to bless you? The blessing of God is a real thing. Have you got it? If we had the blessing of God, there'd be less criticism. We wouldn't be finding fault with everybody else. But we would be seeking to enrich them by our lives. The blessing of God. Have you got it? Have I got it? And he's more willing to bless than we are to receive. Now the second petition. And enlarge my coast. Bless me, Lord. Enrich me by thy grace. Empower me by thy power. Fill me with the joy of the Lord. And then secondly, enlarge my coast. You see, you're not fit for enlargement. You're not fit for service. You're not fit for anything unless you have the blessing of God in your soul. Do you know that? And if you want to see this town of Coleraine and this whole county of Londonderry moved by God, if you want to see your coast enlarged, your spiritual coast, if you want to see the work of the Lord increase, if you want the showers of blessing on the land, then you must have the showers of blessing in your soul. That's what God said. That's his standard. Lord, bless me indeed. And then, Lord, I'm ready for an enlargement. I'm ready to do greater things for you, Lord. I'm ready to serve you, Lord. And you're never ready to serve God until you have been blessed of God. Lord, bless me indeed. You see the earnestness here. Bless me indeed, Lord. Oh, I want thy blessing indeed. And then enlarge my coast. Oh, Lord, enlarge my vision, my efforts. Enlarge my field of service. And he'll do it. A man can be enlarged in his business when he has the blessing of God. Did you know that? God will bless you in basket and in store. God will prosper you in your work. God will bless you in your home. For when a man gets the blessing of God, he can claim everything else. He says, enlarge my coast, Lord. I'm ready for enlargement. I'm prepared to go to the uttermost ends of the earth. God bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. First things first. And when God blesses a man in soul and body and mind, he makes him a blessing. You know what God said to Abraham? And I want you to note this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. And I will bless thee. Abraham got the blessing first, you see. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, you find this right through the Bible. This is a great doctrine of blessing. And you can't build a doctrine of any sort on one verse of scripture or one chapter. But here you find this right through the Bible. I'll bless you and make you a blessing. He says to Abraham, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them. That's it, isn't it? I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and I'll bless them. That's it. Bless the people around you. Bless your province. Bless your nation. Sometimes I think of Joseph, when he was brought out of prison to interpret Potiphar's or Pharaoh's dream about the fat kind and the lean kind, the years of famine and the years of plenty. And they brought this young man out of prison. He was put there because he wouldn't yield to the enticements of an adulterous woman. So how can I do this and sin against God? Isn't that a great standard? How can I do this and sin against my God? He kept himself pure. And he was brought out. And he interprets the dream. There wasn't a man in Egypt had a clue as to what this meant. And young Joseph stands there and he gives him the full details of what's going to happen. And Pharaoh was so impressed that he turned around and he looked at his counselors and his wise men and his astrologers, and he says, can we find such a man as this is throughout the whole land of Egypt, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find a man like that today? Yes, we can. We can find a man like that if you can find a man whom God has blessed. Blessing, I will bless thee, and I will bless them. That's God's order. Bless me first, Lord, and then enlarge my coast. And that's what he did to Abraham, as we've seen here in Genesis 12. I will bless thee, Abraham, and thou shalt be a blessing, and bless them. If you want to see the district of Coleraine blessed, if you want to see our dear beloved province blessed, then cry the first petition of this prayer, Lord, bless me indeed. And enlarge my coast and send me out as a flaming fire for God and truth. And God will bless you. And that's what the world is looking for. Can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And then the third petition, and I must hurry on, and that thine hand might be with me. Isn't that wonderful? The hand of God is a hand of power. The hand of God is a hand of omnipotence. It's all powerful. The hand of God is a hand of protection. The hand of God is a hand of provision. Oh, we could preach a sermon on the mighty hand of God. That mighty, powerful hand that holds the world, that holds the breath of your nostrils. Let that mighty hand be upon me. He said, bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, but Lord, let thy hand be upon me. If I'm going to do a great work for God, Lord, let that mighty omnipotent hand be upon me. And when God's hand is upon you, you're saved from the hand of the enemy. Did you know? And when God's power is with you, you're stronger than the strong. And when God's provision is for you, you have no need of poverty. The psalmist said, this might apply to some of you here this morning. I was young and now I'm old. It wouldn't apply to me that, of course. But the psalmist says, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why, David? And David would respond, because God's hand was upon me. And Jabez, as he moved forward and enlarged his coast, how did you manage it, Jabez? Because the hand of God was upon me. And let thy hand be with me. In the early church, the disciples knew the power of God with them. The hand of God was working with them and for them. In Acts chapter 4, a hand of promise. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire. Isn't that wonderful? The open hand of God. Look at this, these petitions. Lord, bless me. The blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Lord, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my vision. Enlarge my activity. Enlarge my zeal. Send me forth, Lord, as an instrument in thy hand. And then, Lord, let thy hand be upon me. Petition number 3. Let thy hand be upon me. And it's a hand of security. My, that's a great hand to have on you, isn't it? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? Because the hand of God is on them. And I have no fear of perishing, while the mighty hand of God is there. For that's an imperishable hand. It's a hand that knows no weakness. Who shall separate me from the love of God? As I go forth in his name, who shall separate me? Nothing. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate me from that mighty hand of power and love. Oh, let thy hand be upon me. Friend, never leave your room in the morning without seeking God's hand to be upon you. And you'll have a prosperous, victorious day. Oh, you might meet with many enemies and foes, but with God with you, who can be against you? Paul also said in Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? To what things? The things that annoy, the things that vex, the things that's anti-God and anti-Christ. What do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, let thy hand be upon me. Oh, may the hand of God rest upon you and upon me afresh this morning. A hand of security, and as a hand of guidance, thou wilt guide me with thine eye. A hand of guidance. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? What a mighty petition. Oh, that thine hand might be upon me. And then the last petition is this. And that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. That's the part of the Lord's Prayer, you know. And deliver us from evil. You see, evil is ever present. The devil is ever present. He's here this morning. Maybe to distract you. Maybe to get your thoughts on something else. O God, in his last petition, he says, that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. In the 91st Psalm, in verse 3, it says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers and keep me from the evil. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, says Peter. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, keep me from the evil.
from the evil of the wicked one, from the evil of the world, from the evil of my own heart.
For Paul said, and I want you to remember this, Christian, you know those people who claim to get such a blessing that they haven't done this and they haven't done that and they haven't sinned for so many years and they're just absolutely perfect. Well, that is not just true, because the Christian life is a battle. And Paul himself, that mighty man of God, says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or lay hold upon that for which Christ has laid hold upon me. And Paul constantly said, O God, keep me from the evil, for when I would do good, evil is present with me. As I said, I'm saved 52 years. And I don't think I have lived a day without experience the presence of evil. The devil has never left me. But greater is he that is for me than all that can be against me. And Lord, keep me from the evil. From the evil of the wicked one. From the evil of the world. From the evil of our own hearts. And God answered that prayer. Isn't that wonderful? And so here you see a man gone out from his prayer before God with the blessing of God in his heart, with his vision enlarged, with the hand of God upon him, guiding him, and being kept from evil. God answered that prayer. And out this man, that's all said about him. We just know his prayer. We know that he was born in sorrow, but we know that he prayed, and we know that God answered his prayer. Oh, for men like that. Oh, for men who will get before God and say, Lord, bless me today before I go out. Make me a blessing. Enlarge my coast. Keep me from the evil. And God will answer that prayer. And you'll be more than conquerors through him that loved. May God lead you on in the triumph of his grace to be a mighty conqueror for him, for his name's sake. Amen.